Psalms, the book of the Psalms, division 90. If you want to turn in your Bibles to that verse, it's not going to be a lengthy verse. It's not a lengthy verse. I'm not going to be spending a lot of time reading tonight, just that one verse. Would you bow your head with me as we ask God for his divine help and touch tonight? Father, we thank you for your blessings to us of this service. Thank you for the time that we had of worship and singing together, the testimonies. We're grateful for all that you've done for us, the privilege that we have of giving back to you a portion of what you've abundantly blessed us with. And we appreciate the song and those that sang both this morning and this evening. We're blessed because people are giving them themselves and their talents to you and to your glory. And now as we look into your word, I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to shut us in and give us that anointing that is needed. The very vital in the preaching and the effectiveness of preaching in your word. Bless us together, we pray. Give you the glory for whatever's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 90, verse number 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. The Amplified gives a little bit different, as you can imagine. It says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place and our refuge. If your Bible is similar to mine, it says in the little notes above the beginning of the scripture writing itself that this psalm is a psalm of Moses. Moses wrote this. And he's talking about a dwelling place, generational dwelling place. You remember who Moses was? Raised in Egypt for a few years, several years, outside of the palace and then inside the palace. And then his heart is moved to go and visit his people, and he makes some choices that causes him to find it necessary to flee the country. And he spends several decades out in the wilderness taking care of sheep. What a low class job. But God's teaching him. Probably somewhat of a nomadic life, moving from place to place in that position. Then we find that he's back in Egypt, and he moves and he helps and leads the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they're headed to Canaan land. They're headed to the promised land, but because of some doubt, because of some sin, doubting God, they sinned, and God caused them to wander in the wilderness for a few more, several decades, 40 years of wandering around. And Moses dies at the end of that wandering. So what is he talking about? What is in his mind as he is testifying in this chapter, in this division of the Psalms, when he says this about the dwelling place? Thou art, Lord, you have been our dwelling place and our refuge in all generations. All of those wanderings, the wilderness. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. He is saying very simply that God is the home of the soul. God is the home of the soul. Somebody said the soul is restless until it rests in God. I believe that Destiny referred to that in her testimony tonight. The hunger that we have, the desires that we have, trying to satisfy, and we cannot be satisfied without finding the home of the soul being that of God, in the place where God is, or who God is. The home of the soul. What does the word home mean to you? When somebody mentions home to you, what does that mean? What does it conjure up in your mind and your thinking and your feelings? We could probably spend a little bit of time tonight and allow different people to talk about their feelings when the word home is brought up, and we would find a diversity among us. And if we would go around this room and never repeat anybody else's statements about what it comes to, we would still have a vast difference in feelings and words to describe the feeling of home. I remember when I left home to go to college, I was 17 years old, and I was eager to get away. Don't understand that when it came to my kids. I don't know. I can't imagine my kids leaving at the age of 17. My oldest brother left when he was 16. He went to Bible college when he was 16. It's nuts, isn't it? Crazy. There were kids at Penview when we were there, and I was just in what, middle school, considered to be middle school. There was kids there in the dorm that were there in high school, so there was 14, 15-year-olds in the dorm. There's some people looking at each other over here like maybe they might have, somebody might have been involved with that too, 12 or 13. I'm not sure how young, but you know, Chad gets picked on an awful lot about a number of things. I know when I left home, I was eager to get going, get out on my own, and, you know, spread my wings and fly. And it didn't take very long, though, to realize that being away from home wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. For me, there was just something about home. I left my dog at home. That wasn't a fun thing. Couldn't take my dog with me. You know, I kind of liked my dog. And then my mom got rid of my dog, so that when I did go home, it wasn't there. So something about home that it usually puts a smile on our face. It causes our lips to turn upward. It didn't take very long of being away from home that I began to have a hankering or a missing of home. We call it homesickness. Children don't always understand or appreciate their home until after they have left and gone away. Now, I know that when I think about home, there's something about home that draws me and pulls me when I go away for a revival meeting or a camp meeting or go overseas for some kind of a special trip overseas. There's something about the last amen whenever everything of that responsibility is done. Even if it's at 9, 10 o'clock at night and the last amen is done and I don't get to fly out until the next evening, there's something that is churning and working in me. I could fly out as soon as that amen is done the night before. When we were in Dominica back in 95, we had to leave the two kids at grandparents, and they were thrilled about that. Jonathan and Janae didn't have any problem with going to Grandma and Grandpa Leach's house for her 10 days or whatever it was. They were fine with that, but there was something about us leaving them. Jonathan had just, he just turned three, or no, he wasn't even that old, was he? Two. He had just turned two, I think it was, when we left. And so, you know, it was a kind of hard thing to leave that little guy and Janae and fly all the way down. Had to get a will made and all of that stuff because you're concerned about the kids. Had a youth camp. That was the first year that Dominica had a youth camp, and it was exciting to be able to be involved with starting the youth camp. And then we went from the youth camp right into a campaign in a church, a revival meeting in another church, and it was a busy time, preaching. And when that last amen was said on Sunday night, Monday was supposed to be a day of tourism and fun and going out on the ocean or on the Caribbean and learning how to surf on a surfboard. Oh, it was exciting.
My ankles got sunburnt so bad because I didn't have socks on, but my pants were all the way down to my ankles, and way down there I got sunburned, and it was miserable flying back home. But when that last amen was said, even though it was going to be an exciting day on Monday, I was ready to leave. I was done, because home. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's not very often that you find people who are able to stick around in multiple generations in the same home place. You just don't find that very often. People are looking. People are transitioning. People are changing here and there. You go back into the Old Testament, into the book of Genesis in chapter 49, you'll see that there are some words that are expressed there in that chapter that speak about Jacob's hungering for the homeland. He's about ready to die. He's about ready to go. And he's longing for the homeland. There's something about home. And then you jump over to the next chapter, and you see the same thing with Joseph. There's a longing for home that is common among everybody, people around. When the settlers came across the ocean to America, we find towns began to spring up with the name, or locations began to spring up with the names that were similar to the towns and the locations back home. You know, New England, Boston, Plymouth, Cambridge. What was that all about? People remembering home. They thought about home. They were longing for home. The Dutch settled and they called their new place New Holland. What was it? There was a longing for home that was in their soul. Things change. Things move on. There's transitions that takes place. Somebody said that there's nothing so sad as the eternal flow of things. The changing of time. The growing up of kids. You can tell in the face, when you look Miriam in the face on any given Sunday when all of her kids are here, and you can look her in the eye and you know without even looking at the kids that they're all here. There's just something about the look in the eye. You can see it in Kimberly when all of her kids come home. And you can look around the congregation at various ones where they have kids dispersed here and yon when they're all home. You can tell. You can see it. And you could liken all the changes in life to a kaleidoscope. When you begin to turn that kaleidoscope and all of those pictures are different, the turning that is ever changing, and you can keep turning it and you never come back. It seems to never come back to the same picture. There's always something a little bit different. Those pieces that tumble around, they fall into place, but they never fall two times the same. You see, we're on a journey. We are ever going on to new things. But we have this longing for home. What about home? Moses said that God, the Lord, has been our dwelling place or our refuge. Let's notice some things about home. Home, when we think about home with fondness, good nostalgia, we have this thing, an understood thing, that home is a place of safety. Isn't that right? Home is a place of safety. When danger threatens, we want to run home. You can see it on Facebook. Anybody that's having a problem, quite often they'll say something about home. And if only they could get home to mom. Get home to mom. Mom has some way of consoling, some way of touching, some way of whispering safety into the troubled heart. Get home to mom.
Now, there are times when we find people that maybe the ones that struggle the most with understanding that God is our Heavenly Father or God as a Father or those that did not have much of a home to call a place of safety. It was less than ideal somewhere. I talked with somebody just in the last few weeks. I don't know how long ago it's been, but it's been very, very recent. And that person was sharing with me the trouble of the home, of the upbringing, and the problems, and even the fear that was brought up in that person's heart, in those kids' heart. You know, they may have trouble of understanding that home is a place of safety, but they would do everything that they can. They look for safety for their own families, even when they didn't have it. Somehow, there's something within us that pushes us to create a safe haven, because home is supposed to be a place of safety. The strong arm of the father, the comforting arm of the mother, the hospitable door that is always open to receive us. And it closes between us and danger. And we can liken it. We can take a look at the comparison to spiritual things and understand that the spiritual side is very much the same. As we find in Psalm 91, the psalmist said, "He shall abide in the safety under the wings of the Almighty." You look in Psalm 61 where it tells us that He is our strong tower where we can run to, we can run into and be safe. What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. He is my fortress. I will not be moved. He will deliver me. We find that over and over again in the Psalms. And Moses said in the Psalms that our dwelling place is in the Lord. Our home of safety is in the Lord. We also find not only is the home a place of safety, but it's a place of rest. It's a place of rest. There's no place like home to rest a weary limb. There's no place like home, the home pillow, to rest the weary head. How many of you go on a trip and you take your pillow with you? You'd take your mattress if you could. Yeah, there's just something about it, isn't there? It's a place of rest. It's a place of comfort. No one really enjoys another bed. They want their own. Not only can we talk about that that way, in the way of the bed or the pillow, but when it comes to many of us, we look back and say there's no place like home when it comes to mom's cooking. Nobody, my mom was a pretty good cook, but the mother of my kids, I'll eat her cooking any day. Just a couple of weeks ago, she fixed some venison. I shouldn't divert here. The time's ticking away, but she fixed some venison roast that I just knew. I was surprised when she told me that it wasn't Bambi's tenderloins because it was so good. I said, "Whatever you did, write it down and make sure that we do this again." Oh, it was so good. Now, if you know my wife's cooking very much, if you've been around and heard people talk, you know that she doesn't go by recipes. Most of the time, it just pops into her head, or she reads something, and then she will adapt it or adjust it. Because there's something she may not like about it. She wants to do something a little bit different. And oh, my. Sometimes she'll ask me if I want seconds. Well, yeah, I want seconds, but I don't need seconds. Or thirds, or you know, there's just something about that restfulness at the table, the pleasant things of the table, of the home, the rest of the home. What about the spiritual side? The psalmist said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." There's a desire to rest. He shall cover thee with his feathers. The Hebrew writer said in the fourth chapter, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. The songwriter said, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. The writer of Isaiah penned the words, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There is a rest that comes to the children of God as a homebody. I love home. The third thing that we can understand is in the place of the home is where we can find the best place to be understood. Not always fully understood, but we can find the best place to be understood. Because it's in the home where we can have and experience allowances for our weaknesses or for our mistakes or the trouble that we have. We can have that emotional stability where somebody isn't there to chew us apart and to knock us down, to tear us down. It's a place where we can be the best understood. What about that in our spiritual lives? Doesn't God understand us fully? No, God doesn't look at us and wink at the sin that may crop up in a person's life, but he is watching, he is caring, he is understanding, he looks at us with compassion. We find that so, so prevalent, repeated over and over again in the Gospels of the New Testament where Jesus looked on people. He saw people. He saw groups of people. He saw individuals in those groups of people. And it tells us that he had compassion. He understood. He cared. Someone said that he who made us, shall he not understand us? And he who set every nerve, shall he not know its tension? Sometimes the problems that we have in our relationships in the home that cause a little disruption is because we don't know how to exactly tell how we feel or how we think. We have a problem with vocabulary. And then the person that's listening hears what words we're using, and they are interpreting it with a different level of vocabulary. But when we talk to God, he knows exactly. When we're talking about these things with our Heavenly Father, he knows exactly what we're saying. Even when we don't use words, we just may be using some groanings from within our heart or some tears that are being shed down our face. He understands the very depths of those feelings. It's a place where we can be understood, our home. He is our refuge. He is our dwelling place. The fourth thing is it's a place of love. It's a place of love. I am ever surprised at how people still love their parents even when they've been through all kinds of tragedy. Just thinking of some specific people tonight that don't live around here, don't live in this county, they live some distance away, and they've had to fend for themselves. They've had a drunkard for a dad and a prostitute for a mom who was out there prostituting herself in order to get the next high. And what a tragic life. Kids were taken from the home and given to other people to raise because of the gross sin that was prevalent. But there were some that were allowed to stick around and don't understand the differences. But even today, when I read comments on Facebook, it's about how much they miss that dad that's gone or how much they love their mother. How in the world? But when we talk about our home, we want it to be a place of love. There's not a person here tonight that doesn't want your present home to be a place of love. I can't look at any one of you and think anything other than that. No matter what it was in the past, of your upbringing or our upbringing, wherever it might have been, that's the way we want it now. We want our home to be a place of love. I hope that the level of love that you want your home to be saturated with is even so much that even the prodigal is allowed to come home. That our love is even prodigal or extravagant in its giving. A love that doesn't ask for a recompense. Oh, there's something about a mother's love. You know, where it's not Mother's Day, Father's Day is coming up, but there's just something about a mother's love, though, isn't there? The night before I was married, my mom came to the room. We weren't even at home. We were in Jefferson County, Madison. And I was staying, and my mom and dad and my baby brother were staying. Perhaps some others of us were staying at Floyd and Sandy Coates' house. Some of you would remember the Coates's. Mom came to where I was getting ready to go to sleep, and she sat down on the side of the bed and talked to me, rubbed my shoulder a little bit, and talked to me. Rubbed my shoulder. There was a very special time in that moment before getting married the next day that Mom kind of came and comforted, loved. Isn't that what it was love? The heights and the depths of a mother's love. Unwearied. And that love that is so exuberant when all the chairs around the table are filled. A love that didn't seem to change with the problems or the difficulties or whether it was sick or well or responsive or unresponsive. But a love that continued to flow. Oh, what about the love of our Heavenly Father? The love of home, the love of God. The love of God is boundless. It's wider than the widest sea. Scripture tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Somebody said it this way. We do not hang on our walls the picture of the murderer of our children, and yet God hangs up the picture of a rebel world in the galleries of heaven side by side with the picture of His Son. Didn't quite think of it like that before, have you? But God hangs up the picture of a rebel world in the galleries of heaven side by side with the picture of His Son. Why? Because love is ever changeless and ever yearning for the wayward. Ever yearning over the wayward. Not willing that any should perish. And so we come again to the ringing words of the text, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place. The apostles said that in God they lived and moved and had their being. They were made up because of God's dwelling, God's dwelling place. They found their refuge in Him. They found their life in Him. They found their very breath in Him. It's a beautiful thought that a soul can find its home where there's no more changes of time and love, but from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. A lot of homes are broken today. We're finding it more and more common in our world, and they're not going to be able to understand this kind of a thought, but the reality of it is that we have a refuge. We have a refuge in Him. You can find it in John chapter number 10, paraphrased in so many words. He's saying, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall find rest unto his soul. The place of home, the place of dwelling. Jean-Paul Richter said, blessed are they that are homesick, for they shall come at last to their Father's house. Are you homesick for heaven? Are you homesick for heaven? Is the tug getting stronger every day, or is this world drawing us away? Is home calling for us that whenever He's ready, we are ready to go? Blessed are they that are homesick, for they shall come at last to their Father's house. Homesick for heaven. Thou, Lord, art our dwelling place, our refuge. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Didn't realize I was so long-winded this evening. Apologize for the long-windedness. If Grandma Gibson was here, she would tell me after church, don't you ever apologize for stuff like that. Okay, Grandma Gibson, your son would say otherwise. Oh, precious memories. Homesick for heaven. Let's hang on. We're going home. Praise His name. Praise His name. Clayton, would you dismiss us in prayer this evening?